Pastor Mitch and Wanda were here in the years before we came, 5 years ago, June the 5th. And it's often been asked, how do you measure the ministry of somebody in a church? And you don't measure the ministry effectiveness by how many people pass you on the way out the door and say, good sermon. You measure the effectiveness of a ministry by the number of changed lives. When we came here, I was expecting a tough job. But because of the fact that the ministry was so effective that came before us, it's been amazingly easy. Pastor Mitch and Wanda left the church in a very good place. And I praise the Lord for people like that, because it makes, you know, my job easy. And praise the Lord for him. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say today. And I'm hoping that as he comes and takes the pulpit, as it is, that you will greet him in a warm and loving manner. Okay? So, welcome you, Pastor Mitch. Come again.
I don't know it, Jay, but I have a tendency to wander around. So I'm going down there and preach. Every church I go into as an interim pastor now, I tell them I have one function. Remember what the previous pastor did, looking forward to what the new pastor's going to be like. I'm Mr. In-Between. And so if I do my job right, I prepare the new pastor in. And that's what's happening in Ilion right now, is they're taking a candidate and voting on him whether they want him to be the new pastor or not. In the process of that, I have to dismiss myself. I was a member of Rome, New York, First Baptist Church. I was a youth leaders, weren't we? 40 some years plus ago. We went to a fellowship meal of the pastors in the whole area. Lady serving us was one of our youth group. She remembered us, and she paid us a big monstrous compliment. And so that's why I'm here, because I want to touch base with this church again. I've got friends here that, as my Native American friend, first trip to Oklahoma, mission trip, he says, if I don't see you again this side of heaven, we'll meet on the other side. And that's what I expect my friends here to do. I have friends in a number of churches, so it's been a pleasure. The Lord has led me to the churches that could use my ministry. And thank you, Pastor Jay. That's the biggest compliment you could ever give me, that I made your job easy. That's my whole function. I see it. I also have something that sometimes upsets some people. I'm a firm believer of standing up for reading the scripture. Only if you're able, I want you to stand. I'll be reading from the Amplified Version because I like it. It gives whole definitions of what the scripture says. So either listen along or read along. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. And he, Jesus, said, there was a certain man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me part of the property that falls to me. And he divided his estate between them. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered up all that he had and journeyed into a distant country. And there he wasted his fortune in reckless and loose from restraint living. And when he had spent all that he had, a mighty famine came upon the country, and he began to fall behind and then want. So he went and forced glued himself upon one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into his field to feed the hogs. And we gladly have fed on and filled his belly with the carob pods that the hogs were eating. But he could not satisfy, they could not satisfy his hunger, and nobody gave him anything better. Then he came to himself. He said, "How many hired servants of my father had enough food and enough food to spare? But I am perishing here, dying from hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with pity and tenderness for him. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him fervently. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I no longer deserve to be recognized as a son of yours.' But the father said to his bondservants, 'Bring quickly the best robe, the festive robe of honor, and put it on him, and give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet. And bring out that sweet fattened calf and kill it. And let us revel and feast and be happy and make merry. Because this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found.' And he began to revel and feast and make merry. But the older son was in the field, and as he returned and came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And having called one of the servant boys to him, he began to ask what this meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come home, and your father has killed that sweet fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and well.' But the elder brother was angry with deep-seated wrath and resolved not to go in. Then his father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you had not given me so much as a little kid that I might revel and feast and be happy and make merry with my friends. But when this son of yours arrived, who has devoured your estate with immoral women, you have killed for him that loose fattened calf.' And father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But it's fitting to make merry and revel and feast and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" So in reading God's word, you may be seated. Of all the fathers in the Bible, this is my favorite one, because for two reasons. First, he was chosen by Jesus to illustrate the Heavenly Father. I have a father. He was an earthly father. He did the best he could, but he had faults. But Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, taught us to say, "Our Father in heaven." And when I began working on my Eagles, God and Country Award in the Boy Scouts, I thought, "Oh man, I got to memorize this." Sometimes I was mad at my dad. How can I say, equate God the Father as my Father? Well, Jesus did it. And I think he must have had the ideal earthly father for us to study our Heavenly Father. And in this parable, you see, he is the father of two sons who were prodigal for a time. I've heard that word prodigal so many times. I wonder, what does it mean? I finally decided to look it up in the dictionary instead of my own ideas. And here's what the dictionary called a prodigal. As an adjective, it means lavish, wasteful, bountiful. But as a noun, it means a spendthrift. Well, the younger, we all know, was a prodigal in choosing the pleasures of sin. how many of us only is that perhaps once or twice. But the older was prodigal also in choosing pride of self. But the father was what he was. The prodigal became what he should be. The younger son returning. I've seen that happen. Son goes away from the family. Eventually, they come back if they're brought up right. But the older one, he stayed with the father, but he had a decision to make of who was important. And so he can't base his feelings on what kind of father he had. Both of them did. First of all, he was an approachable father. He was a father that reminded the sons of what it would be like in heaven. And thirdly, he was an affectionate father. So let's look at these different adjectives for fathers. The text seems to give some type of history of that family. It seems that the mother of the two boys had died. There's only the father. And at birth, was it? What did she die? Childbirth? At the birth of the youngest son? We don't know. Perhaps he had stood at the grave of his wife with his two sons, old enough to experience that. And just this last year, I had a sister-in-law who developed a brain tumor, and she passed away. Her pastor was in Texas from Indiana to do the wedding of one of his daughters. He was not available for my brother. My brother said, no problem. I'll call my brother. Well, my brother's also in a Huey 369 reenactors of the Vietnam era. Medevac. And they had their own chaplain. So my sister had three ministers. Somehow he got back her pastor for her funeral. And the unit chaplain also had part of the service. So my sister had a homecoming beyond belief. And I think that's what I'm trying to be illustrated here, is that the father brought up the children to really realize who he was. He also had, by the text, great wealth. He had servants. And I don't know if you know the Jewish custom or not, but when the oldest or the father died, the oldest son got half. The next son got what was left. And when he asked for what was mine, he was more or less telling Daddy, drop dead. I want my money now. But the father did not hold that against him. The youngest son's dreams, a far-off country, what was it like? Well, some might think that he had slipped off into the night and ran away. Some might have asked another to intercede. This one feels free to come right to his father. Father, I've sinned against you. Let me back. Perfect picture of God the Father. You see, when we come to him as we are, he's there with open arms. I had a computer crash. My screensaver before the computer crash was a picture of Jesus working at home, a believer, a saint. They were so mad. But I got over it. I'll go out someday and get another screensaver like that. But it reminds me how we approach God the Father as we are. And then he sends the Holy Spirit to work off our rough edges. Every one of us is a work in progress. He has given us a mission to do, And when we accomplish that mission, it'd be homecoming. That far off country, riotous living, a dream of a great task, profound, great temptation. He dreamed of a great adventure, but instead found agony. That young son dreamed of prestige, but instead found poverty. He dreamed of romance. Guys, how many of you have dreamed of romance? Come on, be honest. Be honest. Raise your hand if you believe in romance. But the better question is, have you found it? Yeah! 50-some plus years. But I looked in the right place. I looked in the family of God. As a young son, he dreamed of happiness, but instead found himself feeding the hogs. And if that was a Jew, that was taboo. And the father, he was approachable even from a pig pen. The father, the one who in his son's mind was associated with heaven. How many of us have fathers like that? That we associate the aspect of heaven. Well, disciples, we all have a father like that. He's El Shaddai, God Almighty. But here's what the scripture says. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. When he thought of heaven, he thought of his father. He could not be unreminded of God without remembering his earthly father. Oh, that we all had earthly fathers. And we who are fathers, oh, that we would be that way to our children. The father was surely a man who walked with God. What an impression on that man. And that son could not escape it. Even after time of riotous living, he could not escape that fact that his father was like a heavenly father. The father was a father of prayer, in devotions, in a reverent walk with God. The son knew it, saw it, and he realized it. Oh, that we would all be this way. The father was godly. Put God first. How about me? You see, I tell every church, if I start pointing a finger, look how many points back at me. My sermons are not necessarily for you, they're for me. This Father's Day, how have you raised your children? Are you in and out fathers yet? How are you going to raise your children? Hopefully, something will sink in this parable. And my last point, or next to the last point, he was a father who was affectionate. Verse 20. You know, I've heard it. It's pure nonsense that manhood calls for coldness. This church knew me early on. I always shook hands the way I'm here. It got me to hug it. And my wife comes from that type of family where they were huggers. And I can speak from experience. It's one of the lessons I had to learn. Men are men who really. How often have you heard it? How often have I said it? Big boys don't cry to my two sons. Well, Jesus wept. And I can't think of a bigger boy than Jesus. So if it's possible for him to shed tears over someone, how about us? Do we have a heart for those outside these walls, outside this congregation, this body of Christ? That's what this whole thing's about. It's a look of love. The Greek word there is agape. It's a love with no hooks. All the other four loves have hooks on them. I love you if you're taking a chocolate cake. See, there was a hook. If you do this for me, I'll do that. That's not God's love. He loved us from the very beginning when we were unloving. And he loves us continually. The Father had been watching for him, especially since, according to Jewish custom, the son was going to drop dead when he asked for his inheritance before his father's passing. The Father ran out to meet him. And that Baptist preacher of years, many years ago, C.H. Spurgeon, on this verse, said, out of breath, but not out of love, is how that father ran to that son. The son was returning. The time away made no difference to the father. The smell of swine made no difference to the father. And the rags made no difference, nor did the empty pockets. He was coming home to his father. And the father, who was reassuring to both sons, in verse 21 and in verse 31, the father should take the problem as God, the father, takes them. Nothing's impossible with God. We need to hold it up to God, turn our hands over, and open them up. And if we put them in, we put them in our pockets. Don't go back and pick up what you gave up to God. Trust Him. I've been in two full-time ministries, and I'm probably finishing it up my fifth one in there. And every time, see me through. Maybe not in the same place I want to go to, but he's seen me through. So if you're in my failures, have not moved us away from God's love. In fact, it moves us closer, because when we realize that he is love, he's also just, he's righteous, and he's holy. So my two comments to you tonight, or today, as I close. First of all, very basic, one word. Return! Return. Return. And we will be there at the gate, welcoming you. I've experienced in this church this morning my return, only for one day, where I rekindled friendships. Made new and deep, brother. That's not a threat. That's a promise. Jay and I've kept communications open through the years, and so I appreciate your comments very much. I look to you as a colleague and a fellow servant. I'll get back to my closing comments. They say go through. Come now to the Heavenly Father on Father's Day. Make it a day to remember. All you have to do is come, here I am, Lord. Help me. I don't know why I need to do, but you do. Have the Holy Spirit working through your life like he does so often. And finally, are you like our Heavenly Father? You see, if we're disciples of the Heavenly Father, Jesus, we will become more and more like him. And people will see us and want what we got. I don't know what but I know where I know I'm going. How about you? What a better day to do it than singing the last hymn to make that decision. Pastor Jay, I'm sure we'll be down there to pray. We welcome you. You're turning. We're getting closer. We're all brothers and sisters here. How many of us have ever stumbled? We need to bear one another's burden. What a better day to do it than all the fathers come and say, from this day on, I'm going to try to be like that father in that parable. And with the Holy Spirit's help, I guarantee you, He will change you. He will take you where you've never been before. But what a wonderful journey I've been on for 60-some years. And I don't regret one minute of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for Pastor Jay offering me this pulpit at this time. Father, I thank you for giving me this message. Lord, as I preached it, I was preaching to myself. Forgive me where I failed as a father, earthly father. Lord, help me to renew that covenant that I have with my children, that I would become more and more like that father in the parable, looking after the wayward one, but at the same time being affectionate and caring for the one that stays home. Lord, we thank you that you give us many, many chances, but let us this day dedicate ourselves anew to being the fathers that we want, the fathers that even our wives